Welcome to episode number 43. The guest for this week's episode is Leon Wilmary, a dynamic and inspiring young man. Leon shares his views on a wide range of topics, from the power of consistency and personal development to the influence of social media on academic life, and also some of the challenges and opportunities of being a young person in today's world. He also touches on life on Boyle and his hopes for the future. So make sure you check out his podcast over on Instagram at iTalk Real Talk. So Leon, very, very welcome to the Voice of Boyle. Finally, after I think it's over a year.
Around that, yeah around
a
year.
We got you on and we're recording it now.
Finally, I'm actually so glad that you've had me on here. Honestly, like, it's crazy to think that we're here right now, because back then I thought like, oh, you're probably not going to, like, you know, get me on the podcast or anything like that. But I'm really grateful, essentially, yeah.
Let me not yap on too much. Yeah. So we're going to talk about a few different topics, mainly podcast and fitness, health, because you yourself, which we'll get into it, have your own podcast, video podcast, and we're gonna get into all that. But before we do, one of your recent Instagram clips you had where you asked a question that so many people struggle with, you said, is, tell me a bit about yourself.
That's a very interesting question that I feel not many young people are able to ask, like, answer when it comes to, like, an interview, for example. Like, take for example, so one of my college friends, right, he wanted to call me and basically ask me to help him practice for what's called, for an interview, right? So I basically got some questions off of Google and then decided to, like, pretend to be the interviewer, and then he's the one that's, you know, looking to apply for the position. And some of the most basic questions he was struggling with, and I'm sat there looking at him. It's like, take for example, it's your dream job that you're trying to apply for, or it's a position that you want to go for. If you're not able to present yourself in the best way forward, as in not necessarily like someone who is fake or anything like that, but if you don't know yourself, if you don't know what you do on a daily basis, if you don't know what you're into, if you don't know what, you know, things bring you happiness or you enjoy doing, and someone asks you, you know, tell me a bit about yourself, and you're sat there for 2 minutes thinking about yourself, it doesn't make any sense to me. So I thought bringing that point out in the podcast episode that I recorded is something that I think a lot of people during college or who are about to enter college, because ultimately one of the end goals after you finish college is obviously to go into the workspace, and you want to be as prepared as you can as you're leaving college so that you're not filled with so much like uncertainty or doubt when it comes to applying for any position, because you know you've prepared enough, you've learned a lot about yourself by journaling, by reflecting on yourself, by trying new things. So you have a great sense of self, essentially. And that's one thing I aim to push to people, is to build your sense of self and just enjoy yourself, really. Yeah.
So your parents are from Kenya?
Yes, Kenya.
Okay, yeah. So they moved to Ireland.
Yeah.
Were you born in Kenya?
So for the first 10 years of my life, I lived in Kenya. But realistically, it's around 11, because from 2016 to 2017, we had to go back. Because in 2014, we moved to Scotland with my mother and my stepfather. My father, he wasn't necessarily so present in my life, with a lot of young kids out there, right? He wasn't necessarily so present in my life, and that's not really anything that's affected me as an individual. You know, I don't have any hate or anything towards the man, right? So we moved to Scotland for about a year and a half, and that's really where now my English, right? I get this compliment a lot. People always compliment my English and how I speak to people and just the way I communicate, right? So my English started to really develop when I was in Scotland, because naturally it's a majority speaking, English speaking country. So I used to speak like the stereotypical African child, right? So hello, how are you today? Like the pure one, right?
Right.
And like, you know, over time it's just started to improve. And then, you know, as you go through puberty, you get to a voice break and everything like that. And then we moved back to Kenya because we weren't able to live in Scotland because of, you know, papers and all of these qualifications and everything like that. So we decided to come to Ireland. Well, my mother and my stepfather at the time decided to come to Ireland, and we came in May 2017. And from there, unfortunately, my stepfather passed away in 2018. I think it was March, due to cancer. So that was really unfortunate. And we were only around a year in Ireland. And so you can imagine all of the things that my mother was going through, and, you know, the bills to pay and just looking for a place to live. Because we used to live out in Clunloo, for the first, I think, 2 years, or the first year we lived in Kunlun. And then we decided to move into the actual town in Boyle. And that was, you see, the thing is, I feel like when you're young, you don't really notice how much work goes into, let's say, like living in Ireland or like living in a new country. Because I've noticed from now, for me living in Kenya, I know I'm meant to be talking about my parents here, but
no, that's all
this is really cool.
Yeah.
So like, as I was in Kenya, there's a, like, this may probably be like, maybe looked at differently or anything like that, but when you've lived, let's say, in a third world country for a long time, a less developed country, there's way, like, everything over there is different. And the way people interact with each other, how much money is in the economy, how much work there is and everything like that. And then you come to a country like Ireland, or people go to countries like England or other European countries, or even America and Australia. Those are getting really, really big, like in terms of people going to those countries from developing countries, right? A lot of people don't tend to realize, like, for people who aren't like natives of the country, how hard it is to actually get your feet going in a new setting. All right, because first of all, you have to learn about all the taxes. You have to learn about how to get work. There's so much paperwork involved and everything like that. And there's a certain idea that people who are still, let's say, for example, family, friends who are in, you know, back home, for example, they'll think it's so easy to come over to these developed countries and do very, very well. Well, realistically, like, I've seen some people who worked great. So, you know, from watching YouTube and stuff, there's been some people who've worked really, really high and prestigious jobs in, let's say, Africa or maybe in Asia or something, right? Or in India or whatever. But when they come here, a lot of the times the qualifications you have from your own home country don't necessarily have as much value, quote unquote, in the developed country, for example. So they have to take up jobs that are like much lesser, for example. Like, there's nothing wrong with like being a cleaner or anything like that. But compared to you, let's say, for example, being a banker and going down to a cleaner and having to work your way up, it's crazy. So those are things that I've noticed as I've grown up about living in Kenya, living in Scotland, and living in Ireland, and also doing a bit of traveling. But back to the whole question. So my parents, so my mother, so in Kenya, there are 42 tribes, 42 plus tribes. So my mother is a Kikuyu, and my father, my original father, he's a Luo. And so Kikuyus are known for their charismatic energy. They're known for the resilience, they're known for also loving money, or just knowing how to make a lot of money. Because some of the really, really wealthy people in Kenya, for example, are Kikuyus, right? But the Luo side of things, from my father's side, they tend to be like really tall people, both men and women, tall, broad-shouldered, big, love their women, love their food. So it's safe to say, like, I've kind of got a bit of my mother and a bit of my father in me, and now it's just trying to mold something good out of that.
Yeah.
You know, so. Yeah.
So you moved to Scotland first.
Yes.
It's lucky you didn't get that accent. Or no one would understand it.
just a wee bit.
It's a very difficult accent. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So you came to Ireland. You moved out to Kunlun.
Yeah.
Then I first remember meeting you. It was been at my niece's graduation at King House a couple of years ago.
Yes.
So you went to the school, you went to secondary school in Boyle.
Yeah.
And now you're in college.
Yes,
right,
indeed.
You're in Sligo.
Yes, indeed.
And what are you studying down there, Leon?
So at the moment, I'm studying business, and I'm also doing a second course in level 5 digital marketing. Because naturally, at first, what's crazy is leading up to my college application for the CEO, you know, the whole process, I was really big into like running and fitness and all of these things. So naturally, I thought, since I'm enjoying this so much right now, I would like to do a course in it. So my first option was health science and physiology for level 7s and level 8. And that was my first option. And the second option was business, because I wasn't really too keen on business. I didn't really care about any of that. I just absolutely loved like my health and fitness, and I thought this would be great to share with people, because I would always post like my Snapchat stories or Instagram, either clips of me working out or small motivational talks that I do. And my mother literally recorded me walking down to Lockheed, where she just records me talking to the camera, and then I post that. And I'd have a few people, like, you know, text me like, hey, this is really good, can you help me with this, can you give tips for this and that. And that naturally started to kind of set the tone for kind of being a role model for people. All right. And crazily enough, that year, 2022, so towards leaving cert, I ran in All Ireland's for 800 meters and All Connacht's as well. And I was also student of the year. So that really set a really high tone for me as to what I should expect from myself
going forward.
As I go forward, yeah, exactly.
Right.
So naturally, business, this happened over when I was in Kenya over that summer. So naturally, I started leaning more towards business because first of all, I like money. I won't say I love money, but I like money. I like how businesses work because naturally, if you think about it, like every single thing in this room right now was a product that someone in your family thought was worth, you know, spending their hard-earned money on. And there's a certain like psychology and, you know, way of thinking and so many different processes. And the fact that people are at the core of every single business, and I feel like I'm a really big people's person, I said, okay, let's give this business course a try and let's see how digital marketing goes as of only last year, September.
Okay.
So trying to mix and match the two of them. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So do you find that social media to be more of a help or a hindrance when it comes to your academic life? Because obviously you grew up with social media.
Yeah.
You're of the generation that's, unlike me, where I knew life before Facebook and TikTok and all these came around. But has it affected you, or do you think, maybe you wouldn't have a frame of reference, but I suppose from an academic point of view, do you think social media helps or hinders progression in that respect?
I'd say it both helps and hinders. Now, I'm going to start off the answer to this question with the negative part first. How does it hinder you as a student or as an individual studying something? So an interesting fact that I learned through marketing is the average attention for a human at the moment is 8 seconds. 8 seconds to capture your attention. 8 seconds is what the attention span is, which is dangerously low, all right? And if you're in class, or if I'm in class, I see students, I'm part of the students scrolling through TikTok in class, you know, focusing during your lessons, you're literally just doom scrolling. Like, there's nothing beneficial that you're looking into. And because of all of the, if you go into like the scientific terms, the dopamine raises, you just end up crashing down and feeling so tired so quick during the day. You don't focus on your classes or anything like that. And then naturally, that follows you into your night. You don't feel like doing anything. You just feel like watching TV and being absolutely lazy, right? But the good part is, like with AI, for example, so ChatGPT. So basically, it can help a lot with your college work. Or social media is good for content because there's so much content out there that's actually very helpful. Those are really the main points that I would say for that question. It is bad because it makes you not focus. It decreases your attention span and makes you very, very tired very, very quickly, and you're more prone to becoming lazy. Whereas it's good because there's so much information out there to consume. There's so many people who have done the course, or there's so much advice out there that you can take that in and kind of use it to your advantage. So that's what I would say the benefits are for social media students.
Have you noticed any significant shifts in how students communicate and interact with each other due to the prevalence of social media?
Big time.
Yeah.
Big time. Big time.
Like, you know, you even see it sometimes. If you see a group of students and they're sitting down, they're all on their phones.
Mm.
So they're talking to someone else that's not there. And when then that person that they're meant to be talking to isn't there, they're now texting them. So why not talk to them in face?
It's ironic how that happens. It's really ironic. Like, and the thing is, people take offense if you're on your phone and you're in a group. Like, so don't get me wrong, like, we all scroll when we're with people. Of course we're going to do it, right? It's a natural inclination now. But it's more about being in the moment and enjoying the presence, you know, whether it's boring, whether it's fun, whether there's nothing really cool happening. Like, there's no need to be on your phones all the time. You know, everyone, if you were to ask someone right now, oh, let's say someone tells you an interesting fact, right? They're like, oh, no. You're like, where did you find that? They're like, oh, TikTok. Like, TikTok is literally a new form of education. But I just think people have kind of become a little bit more antisocial in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lack of connectivity with people. You know, we're all obsessed with, oh, how does our Instagram page look? Or how many likes did I get on this post?
Sure.
Or all of these things. And it's just metrics that don't really matter. And it's like we're getting so far away from ourselves, from the present moment. Just like me and you in right now, we're talking, we're having a conversation. We're all so far away. We're always thinking about something, a new fact we learned, oh, this person's died, or all of these things. We're never really on, like, in the moment all of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is a big one. So, Leon, then do you feel a pressure yourself because of the advancement of social media to maintain a certain image or reputation, if you like, as a student? And how does this affect you?
As a student, big time. Because if you're a student and you are a practical person, so you first get the knowledge and you want to apply what you've learned, there's kind of a big expectation or pressure that you put on yourself. So with me personally, I love marketing and I love understanding how social media and all of these new platforms work. And I would like to get a piece of that as well. So naturally, I work on my content. I work on my knowledge and see how can I apply it here and there. And if it doesn't go as you expect it to, if it doesn't go very well or you don't get enough views or anything like that, you feel like your work isn't good enough. You feel this isn't good enough. Am I even learning enough in college? You really start to doubt yourself. And the ways to manage this is just simply understand like it's a long process. All right. Like there's no need to like have so much pressure on yourself. Mm-hmm. Like as a student, you already have enough to worry about with college. So really adding on extra pressure isn't necessary unless that's what you really want to do.
Mm.
Yeah, that's what I'd say.
And of course, then a natural progression from that is considering the potential for cyberbullying and online negativity. How do you navigate the social media landscape for your own mental well-being in that respect? You know, that's obviously a big thing. Mm. And it's certainly a big thing, again, with your generation that has grown up with this. Back in my day, if someone was bullied in school for whatever reason, it was in the schoolyard, you could come home. You mightn't like going into school the next day. But nowadays, you're coming home, students are coming home, or kids are coming home, and they have to go through that mental turmoil at home, unless they just don't go online. So is that that's obviously, because I'd like to get a perspective from a young person's view on this, because, you know, it's such a big talking point these days, like the cyberbullying. And what's your views on that?
Personally, I feel there's no need for kids to be mean to other kids. Like, it's just wrong, right? And the fact that, like you just said, they come back home and there's someone online bullying them in some shape or form. As a kid, you don't know how to verbally defend yourself either. You don't know how to understand what's happening to you, because it'll happen to you and you'll cry about it. Or it's kind of happened to me, but not like as a big extent, because I've learned how to develop tough skin towards these things. But as a child, like, those are things you carry on in your life. I even have friends who have been bullied when they were younger and they're still really insecure about things that some either random person said or some person in secondary school said to them. And that's not necessarily really very fair, because you destroy someone's self-esteem and you destroy their belief in themselves. No matter how much external validation they get, no matter how much good they get, you always focus on that one thing. If I was to be, I would honestly say that there should be some sort of charge given to, like, some sort of like punishment, or not extreme punishment, but some sort of like disciplinary measure for the young individuals who do these things, because it's absolutely not right. Absolutely not right.
I think in Ireland there is a discussion at the moment, and it's a kind of controversial one, but should children under the age of, I think, is it, I could be wrong, 16 or 14, should they have a mobile phone? Should they have a device that's connected to the internet? Like, we see the age is getting younger and younger every day. There's a big talking point in Ireland at the moment, because, again, not every child that has access to a phone would have tough skin. And this is where we go down. So there's a debate going on, and I think there might be some legislation where you need some sort of ID, which I'm personally not a fan of, some digital ID system to maybe have a social media account. I see the advantages, of course, like we were talking about.
Of course.
And I also see the negativity with that, because it comes at a price. But I do think, like you said, cyberbullying especially, there has to be some disciplinary action taken or some way of doing it. How, I don't know. But I was just interested to get a perspective from a younger generation. So moving on. Podcasting, which is how we actually ended up connecting in the first place. Can you explain what your podcast, I Talk Real Talk, is about, and why did you decide to start a podcast in the first place?
Why did I decide to start a podcast? I Talk Real Talk, funnily enough, I was just in this phase of kind of thinking of creative names for a podcast. There's a few, I can't necessarily like remember them now. Like, once I was thinking like, okay, I'm talking. What do I talk about? I talk about business. I talk about this. I talk about that, right? Okay, is it real? Is it that? Like, the name just came out of nowhere. And once it clicked, even has like the idea for a slogan, like we're in the real world and what do we do in the real world? We talk real talk. Like, or it has everything that I would like for a podcast. So I just said, you know what? I'm going to stick with this right now. And what I'm aiming to talk about is, the thing is, I kind of came to this realization that it's not necessarily for every single young person, because I'm more aiming to talk to young individuals who are looking to take their sense of self, like how they feel about themselves, teaching them how to accept themselves as they are, how to make plans for their future, and how to, I guess, read into more and more things, because you need to become more knowledgeable to become more respected. Like, knowledge is literally power. If you're not very, not necessarily educated, but learned, at least, the more learned you are, I feel, the less barriers you'll have as you grow up. Mm. So I talk a lot about journaling is very important. Let's say, even for example, we were talking about this early on, recording yourself talking to yourself. People may think this is absolutely absurd, but to me, it helps you get perspective, because you're going to be very honest with yourself. You wouldn't be very honest with a therapist. You wouldn't be very, very honest with your parents. You wouldn't be very honest with your best friends. The only person you'd really be honest to is yourself. And if you're religious, obviously, I'm religious, so I would say God. So you can use that sort of information to kind of guide you as you live through your months. So if I record a video, let's say today, and I'm not doing very, very well, 2 months from now, because I have the understanding, do things get better as time goes on? 2 months later, things are great. I'm like, oh man, time actually passed. This is good. So what that teaches you is, tough times are going to come. How can I handle them better? You know, how can I, okay, when it comes to work or whatever, how can I position myself to employers the best way possible so I can be able to not struggle as much when I'm looking for work? So maybe it's getting qualifications. Maybe it's reading more books. Maybe it's getting involved in certain activities or certain events. You spread as a young person, you spread your chances even. And eventually one in like some shape or form, because the more you learn, the more you read, and the more you know yourself, you start to see things differently on a day-to-day basis. Like, you'll start to see, like, for example, let's say opportunities or areas for solving a problem slowly by slowly as you go on through your week, as you go on through a year. Then if you travel, you may see things working well in another country, and then you come back to Ireland, you're like, there's a problem here, but there's no one solving it. If you didn't know about whatever it is that you want to do, obviously it's different between every single individual. If you didn't know what you wanted to, what's called make, or if you didn't learn what, you know, your the subject that you're doing, like if you don't go into depth about these things, you can't see the daily problems. You can't see the daily things that people need help with. So what I talk about is teaching people how to become more valuable, first of all, for themselves, and naturally do the inner work, do the research, put in the effort. And in some shape or form in the future, you'll see the fruits come about.
Yeah. And what challenges do you have you faced in the podcasting world? Especially because, unlike this Voices of Boyle, which is audio only, you do a video podcast, which, and you sometimes have guests on, of course, and you do a lot of monologues as well yourself.
Yeah.
So are there any challenges with maybe doing a video podcast that you've had to overcome? I mean, as we said, talking to a camera initially can be a very daunting task.
Yeah. It's a very, video podcasts are very hard to do. Naturally, when you're talking to a camera, like we're in audio right now, the whole setup is set up and we're just looking at each other. There's no thinking. You have to look into the camera and address the person directly. So you're kind of more on your toes when you're talking to the camera, because you're trying to sound a certain way and present yourself a certain way. And it sometimes doesn't feel natural. You know what I mean? And then the work that goes into editing the podcast afterwards, and then getting the clips, and then scheduling the clips, and then posting clips.
Promoting them.
Exactly. It all takes a long time. But the challenges with the podcast, consistency. I don't know if you've ever faced this, but consistency is very hard when it comes to posting episodes.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, I think that was one thing when we started, was because we wanted to do one every 2 weeks, which when I started, I thought, let's do one a week. And Florence, my wife, says, no, let's do one a month, because she knew that the editing side of things, and we came to one every 2 weeks. Okay. But as you said, consistency is key, because your listeners, they expect it every 2 weeks, and it's just something for you, then it makes it easier for scheduling as well. So any advice then for someone like yourself, young person, student that would like to get into podcasting, what advice would you be able to give them if they wanted to start something similar?
The advice I would give to someone who's starting out on a podcast, don't forget that I am also new to this as well, that I don't know a ton much more than you. Simply, if you have something that you really enjoy talking about or learning about, you can talk about that to people, because there's always going to be people somewhere out there, because it's an international business. It's an international platform. Anyone can find your content. You just have to market it correctly. So have your ideas and simply jot down ideas as you go along your day or your month and see if the ideas you've jotted down are really good. And if you think they're really good, put them into more detail and simply just record your first episode on your own, on your phone, in your voice memos or something like that. Just simply record and then ask a friend if they like it or not, if they think that, you know, it's interesting enough. And if so, just simply now start planning yourself, like plan how many times a week you'll post, or how many times a month you'll post. What platforms will you be active on? You know, what's your goal? Are you just making this something that you want to do as a hobby, or would you like to take this serious to the point you can monetize it? Because there's different avenues you can take with this. You can start getting affiliate marketing. If you're thinking really big with what you're trying to start, there's different avenues to create money. Affiliate marketing, marketing products for businesses, creating your own personal brand and selling merchandise with it, or books with it, or anything like that. There's different ways, but all depends on you as an individual. Mm. Not everybody's needs or wants are the same. That's the advice I'll give.
Exactly. Yeah, that's good advice. And do you ever struggle then with topics to cover, Leon? Or do you ever kind of say, what am I going to talk about today? Because that must be, especially when you're pretty frequent with your stuff. Mm. I don't know what your schedule is, but you know, there's you have a lot more content, kind of even the clips you put out on Instagram. So I'm always thinking, you know, do you have some sort of system, or maybe you write topics down and come back to them and explore them later? I would presume struggling for topics is something that all podcasters would struggle with. Yeah.
So how I would answer that question is yes and no, I do have a system. So I tell myself on the weekends, or sometimes during the week, not at the moment because I have college back on, but during the weekends, I just want to record at least one episode. Because I know that I can take the time the next week to think of a new episode to record. Realistically, I have over like 50 ideas in one of my books, or on my phone and my books combined. I already have the episodes set. It's just simply finding the time to record them and then edit them and all of that. My system is simply, if I have the time, but I need to do this by this time, that's my goal.
Okay.
I don't boggle myself down in, I just missed my deadline, or I just missed recording today. No. It's a learning and a growing process. And if you put too much pressure on yourself, you'll start to fall out of love with what you once fell in love with doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, I'd put, obviously, a link to your podcast in the note that goes with this, of course, so people can find you there. You told me about a boxing match, an upcoming boxing match, which plays into the whole, you know, fitness, because you're big into your fitness, as you said. So tell us a bit about the upcoming boxing match. Is that to do with the Boys Celtic? And
Not at all. It's completely different.
It's completely different. Okay. Because there is something coming up
really
in May that's just been announced between Boyle Celtic and Boyle GA. They're trying to do a kind of like a fundraiser.
Okay.
And I thought when you said you have an upcoming box match that you're going to be training for, I was like, oh, maybe something to do with that. But no, tell us more.
That's interesting. I'll have to look into that. Definitely, definitely. But so the boxing match, it's basically based in Dublin at the Bluebell Arena or area. And it's on the 30th of March. And basically the team or the organization who organized it is called CIE. So Created an Era. And I'm a part of that organization, and it's only a very small organization. But what we aim as the organization is to essentially promote Irish businesses, people who are doing very well, and just essentially shedding light or attention on individuals who are doing well for themselves, and to kind of inspire and motivate people in Ireland. At the same time, sharing entertaining news and all of that type of stuff. And the founder, his name is Mick, and me and him, we became friends last year. And I was introduced to him by one of my other friends called Jeremiah. And we essentially started talking, me and Mick, and he didn't know how to podcast. So he brought me on to the team to be the leader of the podcast. And we were meant to start it last year, but this year is when we're really looking to start really making something happen. So he started boxing in England and training for it. He had a fight. Unfortunately, he lost, but he did very, very well for himself. And it was a really cool thing to do. And he's been planning, so the CIE group has been planning this boxing match, and basically all the proceedings are going to Shannon's Hope Plan, which is a charity for mental health in Dublin, if I'm not wrong. Mental health, so all of the proceedings are going to the mental health, and the charity is just to like raise awareness on mental health and the, you know, suicide and all of these really negative things. So it's all for a good cause, and the person I'm fighting is Leo CJ, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Right. Really
interesting. I think it's a Dublin fellow or something like that.
And have you, and have you ever boxed before?
No. No. Well, not, once. But
not, not in a ring.
Not in a ring, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you're also big into your fitness. You said you've done a lot of running in school. Is that something that you continue to do? Or do you train more gym work or core work? Or
I was really big into running, but when college started, and this is something that anyone who's looking to get into college is, the nights out, they're very, very nice. You know, you go for a few pints with your friends. Yeah. You know how it is.
There's no running the next
day. Exactly. There's no running. There's no gym. There's no nothing. Right. So I got into the habit of that very, very quickly. And I enjoyed every single second of it, but my health, in terms of my fitness levels, really, really decreased. But I wouldn't always slack off all the time. I'd always go to the gym at least once a week, twice a week. I'll try go as much as I could whenever I could, just to at least keep the strength and the physique and everything all there. But at the moment, since I have the up-and-coming boxing match, honestly, I went for a run today and just getting the fitness back up, getting the motivation back there and everything, and just using that drive to get me back on. But nah, gym fell out of love with the gym because it gets too repetitive after a while. So
it's hard to juggle both. But also, I think when you're younger and you do go out with a few pints, I think you get away with it a lot better than some of my age, believe you me. So you can have that kind of buffer zone where it's not going to affect you as much. But of course, if you're doing it regularly and you're trying to train, negative effects are going to come in there for sure.
Of course.
Business and marketing then.
Yes.
Would you ever consider starting a business yourself? And if so, what kind? Like what ticks the boxes for you as a business?
Funnily enough, I love business. Like if it was a person, I would give it the biggest hug I ever could. Right. Yes, I would start a business first of all, because I feel like I have qualities built for it and I'm still developing them. Secondly, I also started golf actually. Started playing golf, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Where from? I don't know. Because my friend introduced me to it. And then I actually got paid lessons yesterday. And it's a professional golfer who trains you.
You're taking it that seriously. Okay.
Yes. Right. And you know what? Yeah. Yesterday, at first, my form wasn't good until he corrected me. And my three friends at the back, and one of them was talking mad. He was just trash talking me, basically, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, as friends, it's a joking way. Just to kind of help you, you know, focus a bit more. My coach didn't think that he was joking. He thought he was being serious, and he started going right back at him. Even told him to come take a shot right here, right now.
Yeah,
he flopped it so bad, and then there's just me, boom, just
hitting it all the way. So you like it?
Like it?
You're only playing it a short time.
Like literally just about a month now. Yeah, not that long. Yeah, but the reason I say golf is because why do I want to start a business? Well, I know a lot of the business deals go down in the golf course.
You're thinking business,
thinking ahead.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah, you're thinking. Myself, I'm into the online marketing kind of space, so that those kind of businesses appeal to me. Would you be more kind of brick and mortar style, or would you be thinking, you know, online side of things as well?
Online side of things. Honestly, it's much more manageable. You can work anywhere at any time. The idea people push online is that, oh, have your own online business. You can work anywhere, anytime. It's true, because you have that freedom. That doesn't mean the stress leaves you alone. You still have that stress on you. But for me, a business I would make would have to include marketing, would have to include consulting, and it would have to include probably like brand management or something like that. How to build a brand, how to establish your name, and how to bring value to people online anywhere you want. That's a business that I would essentially go into. Obviously, there'd be some private ones, but we don't talk about the private ones. But
I suppose one negative side of running an online business, I think, would be that you can never escape it in a way. If it's online, you can have, maybe you're always looking up things on your phone, you know, to an extent. Brick and mortar business, you close the door at 6 o'clock in the evening, that's done until 8 in the morning or whatever. So there can be that kind of, and it doesn't suit everyone.
Mm.
No more than an online, because I mean, with an online business, there comes a kind of a certain level of tech savviness that you need to have.
Yeah.
Not at all, but you need to certainly know the basics. So it puts a lot of people off, even though I think personally they would make very good online business people.
Mm.
But because they have something, maybe a disconnect with the tech side of things, they don't go there at all. But would you see, how do you see the intersection maybe between podcasts and fitness and potential businesses in the future? Do you think, you know, there's going to be a big push? Because obviously we know now there's a lot of online for mental health. There's a lot of, you know, there's a big push. People are doing ice baths all the time. This kind of, so do you think there's going to be a big surge in businesses more so going forward? Or do you think it's going to plateau and kind of even itself out?
I would say there'll be a kind of big surge. Now, if we're to take a look at, it's either the e-commerce industry or the, what's called the e-commerce industry or the dropshipping industry. In America, it's a $1 trillion industry.
It's huge.
And there's still potential for anybody to get a piece of that.
Yes.
It's the same thing in Europe. I think Europe is only in the billions though. There is a lot of potential because first of all, with all of these e-commerce sites and all of these e-commerce business, if we're talking specifically about business, is we all have the idea of the store. We make sales, we make ads, it makes us money. Cool. But to run the shop, there's subscriptions on website payments, on affiliate links, and all, there's all of these other hidden costs for the business. And within those hidden costs, our business is running those hidden costs. The more money you make as a business and the more you pay in subscriptions, now those people who are making those subscription sites and everything, they make money. There's always going to be interlinks, I feel, between all business. There's money to be made at every single level. You just have to be smart and capable of like seeing all of these opportunities. Because the conversation I had this morning with my friend Anik, right? He's really, really big into e-commerce. He's had a few of his own businesses set up and everything. Did well for himself. But he was saying that would be the next one. He said it's called SaaS. And I forget the exact meaning. Service.
Well, something. SaaS would be software as a service.
That's it. SaaS. That's the one.
Okay.
He's saying that's going to really, really grow over the next few years. He's what he thinks.
That is big at the moment. And it is going to get bigger for sure.
Jeez.
Yeah, it really is. So he's kind of trying to tap into that.
Yeah, to tap into that.
Okay.
Space.
And then, look, another kind of question is when you're in, you know, we all know that the attention that people in an attention economy where people are, how do you ensure, like, for example, your podcast stands out? Because as you know, people are scrolling on TikTok and they want something quick. It's like 5-6 seconds. It must be hard because unlike this podcast, it's for Boyle. You know, but in yours, where you can reach out and you can help people, Australia, everywhere. How do you think being able to stand out so maybe they stop and go, oh, I'm going to press play and listen to this? Is there something that you think?
Okay. First thing I would say is, as of recently, I've noticed that my episodes don't necessarily get as much views. And that could be to a few reasons. First of all is the hooks on the short videos I post onto Instagram and TikTok. Sometimes also depends on the quality of the message. And these things take time to improve and work on, especially the editing side of things. A hook is basically a 3-second clip or 3-second moment at the beginning of a video that has to capture the viewer, the attention of the viewer. If that does not get them, they scroll immediately past. And that's not your fault. It's not anybody's fault. Whoever's got their own thing and they're doing that, it's not your fault at all. But what I would definitely say helps is consistently posting, because that will start to increase your impressions and your reach. So the more you keep pushing, and if your content improves, even if your content like doesn't get a lot of views, even if you keep just pushing out your content, but it's good, one day, whether it's 1 year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, you'll have that big breakthrough. And that's when everything will just change.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of time with this.
Gary Vee, who I'm sure you're familiar with, he also would have had the Wine Library, his YouTube channel, back way before Gary Vee was even a household name like it is now. And he said, and there's videos of him posting, he'd post a video talking about a certain wine. It was a family business.
Mm-hmm.
And he did this for years, every day, a video every day. Wow. Might be 2 minutes, might be 5 minutes, it could be half an hour. Jeez. But he did this every day. And he got to the stage where obviously then Gary Vee, as a maybe an influencer or maybe a public speaker, someone who motivates people, he came to the limelight. And he always says, you see me now, but you don't see all them years of me struggling, like 5-6 people watching his videos on YouTube. Now they have a lot more views, of course.
Oh, yeah. He's making this a ching.
Yeah. But back then, he says people are just kind of, they see the destination, but they don't see the journey. And I think that's so important. So as you were saying, with consistency, it's so important that you stick to something, especially when you're trying to reach a wide audience.
Oh, yeah.
You have to be consistent because I always say, consistency beats talent when talent isn't consistent. And I think that's such a true saying.
That's powerful. That's powerful.
So so you've also mentioned you've read a couple of books lately on maybe kind of money and power. And one of these was
48 Laws of Power.
48 Laws of Power. Now, I'm familiar with the author, Robert Greene. He has he's a couple of books. One of them I also know is called Mastery. But Robert Greene has influenced your perspective on money and power.
Yeah.
Can you maybe elaborate in a way on
Of course.
What that means?
So, I just remember what I was going to tell you before, and that was the fact that with the consistency part, you have to have the end in mind. You can't go where you can't see. Simple as, But how the book 40 Laws of Power is in, like, kind of opened my mind seeing how money and power work is he explains how the world is kind of like a stage and everyone is an actor. And some actors are better than others. It's actually that good of a book that it's banned in some prisons around the world.
Some prisons?
Yeah. Oh, prisons.
Interesting. Right.
That is serious. Like, it's banned in prisons because it's so, in a way, it's manipulative and it's very psychological. And not everybody's able to comprehend such a level of detail within the things he talks about. Like, you have, as you're listening to the audiobook, I listen to the audiobook and sometimes follow with the book. You have to imagine these situations as if you're in the situations, especially since we're in the whole business realm. That's where we want to go. You have to understand how to read your competitors in person. You have to understand how to play certain tactics. You have to know how to come up on top and not seem like you're the bad guy. Like, there's so many different things you learn about it. And money and power, they're kind of related in the way that money will bring you power and power can also bring you money. And the thing is, a lot of people, I would say, we tend to let power, if we have a lot of money, we tend to feel like we're very powerful. And as a result, if you can't control your emotions and control your arrogance or pride, that can be your downfall. Like, it's like the saying, pride comes before a downfall. So it's really cool because it's kind of helped me see on my day-to-day basis, right? How can I be able to push myself in this area? How can I be able to apply what I've learned in this right here? Because if you read books and, you know, you consume all of these things and you don't actually apply them, it's just wasted knowledge. So by you applying what you learn from knowledge to wisdom, and wisdom is simply applied knowledge. So honestly, it's a really good read.
Yeah.
It really helps you realize like how powerful you can become.
So it's an interesting point you made there about it being banned in prisons, because I do know the author of that book, Robert Greene, is a big fan of Stoicism.
Oh,
yeah, because he's very good friends with Ryan Holiday.
Is he actually?
Yeah, you know Ryan Holiday?
Yeah, of course I do, yeah.
So he's a very good friend of Ryan Holiday's. Oh. And a lot of people, I remember reading some articles, were speaking about the fact that Robert Greene in 48 Laws of Power uses very deceptive and manipulative techniques. So I presume you would probably agree with that sentiment then.
Oh, yeah. Some things he was talking about. He even talked about like how to make a cult in that in the part of the book,
right?
How to do it, how to play to people's fantasies, how to do they're bad versus we're good. He even brought religion into this. It was actually crazy, and some of the things that were being talked about in the book, I was like, I could never do that, because some of the like stories and things, they step a line, and that's when you realize that can't work today.
No, and obviously then maybe being banned in prisons, like you said, things could get out of control. So as a student then, Leon, how do you foresee developing financial literacy and personal development going into the future? maybe, you know, because you're obviously very astute. You got your head screwed on. Mm-hmm. You're thinking of business. You're thinking of, you know, entrepreneurship. You know, how do you see this playing out in, you know, the next 10, 15 years? Yeah.
To be honest with you, I've kind of stopped and come to the realization through journaling and everything is that not everything always goes as planned. Things happen, you know, all of these things happen to you as a person, and you don't necessarily doubt what can be, but trust what you're doing one day. It's like the whole compounding effect when it comes to business and investing. Small actions over time produce big results. All right. But yeah, so many of us take it for granted. And how I see this playing out, honestly, one day I just hope that my podcast and the influence that I'll have will actually be of great benefit to people who are one day in my position. Because take, for example, even if my podcast doesn't work out, I won't be heard about it. I'll have tried what I wanted to do for so long, and I learned so much through that, that I can then transfer into another skill or into another asset that I can use, and that might be the one.
Exactly.
It's always simply a learning process, and that's something I feel people get very scared of, is what will my future look like? You don't have to know what your future will look like. You just have to determine what actions you want to keep on doing now, and eventually you'll wake up one day out of your day-to-day maneuvering and you'll be like, whoa, I'm actually here right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Let's embrace that. Yeah, yeah, because I think there's a lot of pressure placed on younger people to, you know, have things figured out. Yeah. Have things figured out by the age of 18.
You can't. It's not like, possible.
No, it's not.
Not possible.
And very few people end up doing something, I believe, maybe it's changing now, but that they truly are passionate about or are happy with.
At age 18?
Yeah.
They found something that they're passionate about at age 18.
Maybe, or even 21, and they go on and fulfill that career. Mm. That they say, yeah, this is for me. Yeah, there are plenty of people like that.
Mm.
But I think there's too much of a pressurized environment to make people think you have to have things figured out. You know?
Yeah. You couldn't have said that any better, honestly. Couldn't have said that any better. Like, there's some people who will have it figured out, but that doesn't mean that you have it figured out. Your own way will come to you in some shape or form or time in the future. It doesn't have to be like theirs.
And that's what I love about the internet. I know it has its negativities and it has everything like that, but I do think the advancement of the internet has, I mean, I know so many people that dropped out of school and they're half my age and they've dropped out of school and they're running multi-million euro businesses, dollars. They're in, you know, this is why the internet bridges this gap between having to, you know, go to college. I'm not saying like you shouldn't, I'm just saying it's not for everyone.
Exactly.
Just like everyone, you know, doesn't have to play sports. They mightn't be sporty. There could be good at other ways. Mm. So I think, you know, the likes of that, it's so good that there's options nowadays.
Absolutely.
Back in our parents' days and all that, they didn't have those options. So it was different.
Mm.
But now we don't. So we should, you know, as you said, embrace these kind of opportunities that we have. Yeah. So what practices or habits, Leon, do you incorporate into your daily life to promote personal success and development?
It's very simple. I'm not a big man when it comes to this. I have a quote on my wall right above my mirror that I look at every single day. Some may call me obsessed. Okay, whatever, right? But I read it whenever I'm feeling low. So it goes like, remember, you are in control of how you show up in the world. I hope you choose to be big and not shrink for the comfort of others. Let yourself bloom wildly and freely without regret. When I read that in the morning, I know that if I want to feel big and bold today, then I will feel big and bold today. If someone else is uncomfortable by that, that's their own problem. If someone else likes that and they like some of this energy, you share it to them. You know what I mean? So it's kind of setting myself up for success in the morning. Sometimes I don't read it. Let's say, for example, I wake up late for college, like this week I mostly have, right? It's a terrible feeling. And then a 30-minute drive. Instantly, oh, I have to do this, I have to do that, I have this work to do. Well, my head is literally all over the place. But I wake up in the morning, I tell myself, stop, I have a bed. I look outside, if the weather's terrible, I look back inside, right? But like, I just appreciate that I'm here. I still have time to do what I need to do during the day and stay as focused as I can. If things go off track, it's okay. Just redirect yourself if things go off track. And hopefully we get back home at the end of the day. And are we happy with what we've done? If not, how much time is left in the week? If there's not much, what can we do for that next week? Or if there's a lot of time, just simply reorganize. recollect yourself and keep moving.
Yeah. That's a very, very good statement. Thank in fairness, you. Yeah, very good.
What's your one?
My kind of belief is that you've got to be happy and healthy. Mm. I think if you're happy, you will be healthy to an extent, and vice versa. Mm. And I think everything else in life falls by the wayside. Because if those two aren't met, it doesn't matter how much money you have.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter where you live, what car you drive. Mm-hmm. And of course, when I say happy and healthy, I'm including family in that.
Of course.
If family is an important value, which for me it is, of course. Mm. So that would be kind of the and I always say that, you know, to that for me is what I value in life.
That was a great answer, by the way, I have to say. That was great.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, as a podcast host then, how do you see your platform contributing to the world around you going forward? I know you kind of said if it falls away the wayside, so what? Mm. You've learned valuable skills that you can turn your hand at the next one. But in an ideal world,
okay,
5 years from now, I talk real talk, hundreds of thousands of followers, whatever.
Inshallah.
If that means something to you. Okay. It doesn't mean everything either. Like, you know, these metrics are only, you know, metrics that we're talking about to make it easy explainable. But how would you see the podcast going? What road do you see it taking in the future?
Mm. First of all, this is any ideal world, right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. I would like it to be very much so real. Not based off of just numbers, off of followers, off of likes, off of shares. It's all pointless at the end of the day. You know, you still go to the toilet the exact same way as the person opposite you. It's the same thing, right? For me, true success would be I wake up in the morning, I've been called to go to a show somewhere, and I go and I talk things that people resonate with. And then let's say, for example, I've talked on that show. I would have an event, let's say meeting during the week or something like that. And people who really benefited from the podcast actually show up. And we all collectively have. So we'd be sat here, like, for example, I'd be like, oh, I'm bringing you back on, come on the show and everything. You know, promote your podcast and everything. We have a great conversation. And then we open the questions out to people as to what we've either talked about, as to their own personal problems or ambitions and everything. That to me would be true success, because I know all those things that I talked about when I was younger, now people are listening to this. And instead of just letting it be that and let it be a number, let them come in and let us all collectively change our view on these things for the positive, for the better, to then transfer these things. Because I'm thinking long term, I'm thinking teaching my kids these things so they don't make the same mistakes I did. And someone else out there would want to do that for their own kid. It's creating a community that's real, that's diverse, that's authentic, that's inspirational, where we thrive together. And the numbers will be great, the money will be great, but the real power is in how much you change someone's life.
Yeah, because a lot of people, I think, they strive for the big numbers, the big share. But I think, as you mentioned there, if you have a small, engaged community, it's way better than a large, unengaged.
Exactly.
You know, and I think if people strive for that more, they bring more value to the table. Mm-hmm. And like you're doing with your little videos and your little clips, there's like, when I watch them, I view them as little sound bites, you know, and I really enjoy them because you get a message out of them and it's something you can take away. So I see that value and I think that's great that you're doing that and, you know, long may it continue as far as I'm concerned. So one of the last few questions, like, what age are you now? You were 20, 21?
19. I'm 19 now, yeah.
Wow. Okay.
20 in July.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. Well, so like, what's it like being a young person? Like, I know you can say, well, I have no frame of reference, of course, but when I was your age, obviously the world was a different place. Mm-hmm. You would have no recollection of that. But like, for my generation and the older generation that will be listening to this episode, what is it like being a young person today, maybe in Ireland, for example, because we can relate to that.
Okay. First things first, I would say is that we live in a very different world. Like, it's not how it was, like we were talking about early on. It's no longer just like in person. There's now different ways of putting yourself out there. There's different ways of getting education. There's different ways of getting to know new people. So if I was to talk, like, being young, I feel like sometimes our parents, even my mother sometimes, like, she doesn't understand the things I'm doing until something happens out of it. And then she's like, whoa, wait a second. I don't know my kid could do this. Same thing. A young 16-year-old boy came to me one time in the gym in results. And he started asking me, you know, can I get some advice off of you? So He told me about what he was doing in England. Like, he's 16 studying law and some of the subject. And he was telling me he didn't like how his parents just really wanted to push that on him, either to become a doctor or some traditional job. Whereas he at 16, now you might be like, how do you know all this at your age? He at 16 knew quite a lot about dropshipping and stuff. E-commerce at 16.
That's what I was telling you, yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, he didn't really feel too, like, he really wanted to pursue that and start making money at that age. Because obviously comparing yourself to other kids and everything online, it's not good. But his parents don't understand that we're now in a place where there's different ways of living. Being a young person, it's hard because obviously the expectations you have from social media, the topic's kind of like repeating themselves, but the expectations you have from social media, you have to be good looking, you have to be doing this, you have to be making this much money, you have to work this type of place. We think about this all the time, but we don't talk about it all the time. More peer pressure, vaping, alcohol. Mm. It's still very prevalent. Negative thing. I am included in that space because of peer pressure and going out all the time. That's very destructive for our health long term, you know? But the good thing about being a young person at the moment is just the freedom of being that anything that you literally want to be, you can become.
Yeah. That's a great answer. Beautiful. Yeah, because it is. Because as I said, you have a lot more opportunities than potentially even I had. And of course, our parents even had back in their day. One last question. I'm curious as well.
Yeah.
You've lived in Boyle for a while now.
7 years now.
Okay. Mm. What's your view on Boyle? How would you like, look, everywhere has advantages and disadvantages. Yeah. So give me advantage and a disadvantage of life in Boyle.
Life in Boyle is it's quiet. I love the town. It's very homely. I have to say, it's very homely, beautiful scenery. Very friendly, friendly people. Like, you wake up in the morning, if you're walking, going for a walk, people just always say hello to you. It's good to have that small sense of community. Whereas if to be in like Dublin, no one cares about you. So it's nice in that element. Disadvantages that I would say, honestly, there's not really anything that I find a disadvantage in Boyle. Apart from it's a very small town and there's not much that you can actually do in Boyle. I can never say I don't like Boyle. It's pretty much my second home now, for us, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Well, as you said, you're there 7 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And before we wrap it up, I want to just can you tell people where they can find you apart from,
of course,
you know, your Instagram, of course. So you can give the little plug.
Yeah. No stress. So you can obviously find me at leon.wamari on Instagram or iTalk Real Talk Pod on Instagram. It's the same socials for Spotify and YouTube. Any listens or likes would really appreciate. But most more, only if you want to listen to, obviously, like, it's not meant for everybody. If you want to learn more about yourself and really take yourself to the next level and your mindset to the next level, my podcast would definitely be the one for that.
But, absolutely. Yeah. I can recommend it too. And I just want to say, Leon, thank you very much. I'm delighted we finally got to record this.
So am I.
It's been over a year of In The Making. So I'm delighted. And again, thank you very much.
No worries. Thank you so much for having me on. It's been an absolute pleasure.
No problem.
Yeah.